Brother, so good to be with you this morning. We think of you often when we're overseas, and we appreciate the care and concern that you have shown this morning over the storm that recently hit Palau. We were very blessed. It ended up at the last minute turning south and missing Palau by 50 miles. However, still, there were several villages destroyed on Palau from the storm surge and the wind. But our brethren are all okay. Their homes are okay. Our church building received some minor damage, and our home received some minor damage. But brethren, just a fraction of what it could have been, and we're thankful for your prayers. If you're not receiving our monthly newsletter, then please give me either your email address or your regular mailing address. We'd be very happy to get you on the list. We send out that newsletter every month, and we believe, brethren, in the great importance of communicating with our brothers and sisters back here in the States while we are overseas. So please give me either of those addresses and we'll get you on the list. Let me go right into the presentation now, brethren, because there's a lot that I want to share with you in the few moments that we have together. We are the Treat family, live and work in Micronesia. If you're new to the congregation here, then you'll see a picture of my wife and our children. And brethren, we are able to serve in this part of the world. Chuuk and Palau are close to the equator. And if I had to choose one word to describe life and work in the islands, it would simply be different. And like with any of the Lord's work, we want to see the work for what it is. And Jesus says in Matthew 13:14, "Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive." But brethren, we want to see and perceive. We want to hear and understand so that we can know what we need to give these congregations, that they can turn into thriving and developing congregations of the Lord's body. And so it's important for us to see and perceive. It's about seeing. Come and see the works of God. He is awesome in His doing toward the sons of men. New King James Version, Psalm 66:5. Brethren, it's about seeing. How we need to present the message, because they think differently than we do. They're in a different culture, and while the message that we present is the same, well, the manner in which we present it, the illustrations we use may be different. Peter said, "Look at us," in Acts 3, verse 4. It's about seeing what's most important, and that's not the differences in food or in living conditions. Isaiah 40:26a, "Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things." It's about seeing. What are the needs of the people? And brethren, those needs are for physical things, but those are not the greatest needs at all, brethren. We want to see that the greatest need is spiritual and how we can help them to meet that need. So this morning, I want to take you with me to Palau and Chuuk and let you see the people there and see the Lord's work there and see the value of spreading the gospel there. So let's look first at Chuuk. And this video clip that you've been watching is of Chuuk. Chuuk is made up of over 200 islands. The main island is Moen. Moen is where the airport and hospital are located. And Chuuk is like a third world country. It's severely underdeveloped by modern standards. The hospital is undersupplied and they can't properly pay the doctors. And so those doctors who are there are like Peace Corps workers donating a lot of their time. A concrete road is now being built, but the previous asphalt road has mostly deteriorated away. The underlying ground is not able to support the gravel for the asphalt, so it just continues to be compacted, and the road becomes the low point of the surrounding area. That means that the water gathers to the road, and driving in Chuuk is oftentimes like driving on a riverbed. And what it means is there's a lot of wear and tear on their cars, those of them who do have vehicles, and for a people who are making $2 or $3 an hour, well, it's very difficult for them to maintain those cars on that kind of a salary. And so it keeps it a third world country, and the people become desperate, and someone recently said that they are not able to dream any longer. Well, they're able to, brethren. It's just harder to when living in conditions like this year after year and day after day. In addition to these things, the morality of Chuuk is generally low. Drinking and unfaithfulness to marriage vows are very common. In fact, there's more drinking per capita in the islands than here in the U.S. We had one brother whose wife was about to pass away, and her parents came and got her and took her to her home, Outer Island, to be buried with her people. Well, this brother took a new lady into his house before the wife had actually passed away. And brethren, created a problem in the church, of course, and we had to start down the road of church discipline with this brother and drove some visitors away. Just an ugly situation. Well, that is a common kind of situation that we deal with there in Chuuk. Another brother in that same congregation had four children, and his wife had been unfaithful to him several times. He always took her back in, but this year she went to an outer island with another man. And brethren, when you go to an outer island in Chuuk, it's escaping. And there's no way to communicate with someone if they go to the outer island. You know, they don't have cell phone towers out there. They don't have internet access out there, and not even landline telephones out there. So the only way to communicate with someone on an outer island in Chuuk is to send a message, a one-way message, over the radio and just hope that they're listening and hear the message. Or maybe a family member of theirs will listen and convey the message to them. So this lady went to the outer island with another man, and this time our brother decided to exercise his scriptural right to divorce and then move on with his life. And so he did. And in the process of time, he started to date another young lady. And the now ex-wife did not like the fact that he had a new lady in his life. So she came in from the outer island, went to the girl's workplace, and started throwing rocks at her through the open door of the workplace. And brethren did it three different times, huh? So that's why I chose the word different to describe the life and work in the islands. Brethren, just different. They would call our brother and say, you need to come collect your wife. And he'd say, she's not my wife, she's my ex-wife, and you need to call the police instead of calling me. And so that's part of some of the unique aspects of the people there. But brethren, that morality is generally low. Don't let that be discouraging to you, because that's why they need the Bible. Brethren, that's why they need the church. And the church and the Bible are lifting them up and making a difference in their lives. This is a trico. And if you'll notice, he's opening this coconut for us without using any knife whatsoever, any kind of modern tool, just a stick. Just a stick. And a trico is a young man who, when I first started going into Chuuk, it would always be reported to me that a trico had been drinking. And so they'd pull him off of the leading in the public worship service, and I would go and study and talk with him, then he would go forward the following Sunday, and it went like that for many trips into Chuuk. A trico now never gets that report. He has completely given up that drinking, and for a young man a trico's age to completely give it up, brethren, it really stands out in this culture. It would really cost him a lot of his friends and associations that he has made that change, but he has. And brethren, it's because of the church, it's because of the Bible, that his family is now much better off because he's given up that thing. The Bible is changing them, and the church is helping them. This is Kendi, and from our newsletters, you may remember the Pacific Islands Bible College. Kendi lives in Weechup Village in Chuuk. And brethren, he has the ability to have a cell phone. He doesn't have one, but there are towers that would reach him there. He doesn't have a telephone and doesn't have any internet access. But Kendi went through the Pacific Islands Bible College faster than anyone else in the Pacific. Now, the Pacific Islands Bible College, you may remember, we do not have a building. We do not bring the students to a central location and house and feed them. Rather, we bring the teacher to the students. And there are 24 courses. Over the course of many years, they can have the opportunity to go through the entire program. They can do it by live instruction, or they can do a correspondence course, or even a correspondence DVD course. They can request and have that sent. And every time I would go into Chuuk, Kendi would say, where's my next course? Can you get my next course sent to me? And he pursued it just very diligently, brethren. And this remote location, Kendi went through it faster than anyone in Saipan, where it's much more modern, or Fiji, or any of those kinds of areas. And Kendi is now preaching regularly in the Epanoop Village Church of Christ. Well, that's the Bible helping them and lifting them up. Let me tell you about Urson. Urson is the son of Hermas, a regular preacher in Naaman Village in Chuuk. And brethren, Urson has always been known as a fighter, and he has the scars to prove it. You know, they're not allowed to have guns in Chuuk. I know some who have them, but they're not supposed to have them. But they carry machetes, and they're going to do that if they're walking through the jungle. Then they'll need it for practical use in getting through the dense forest there. But brethren, they fight with those machetes, and Urson has been a fighter. But over the last 2 and 3 years, Urson has almost completely changed his attitude and changed his purpose and direction in life. He is the one now who walks with me if ever I'm going to Epanoot Village. He sees it as his opportunity to serve and his responsibility to be the one who goes with me. Somebody's got to go with me, brethren. It's not safe for a foreigner to travel alone there. And Urson is eager to go and desires to serve in that way. Urson filled in for his father preaching one Sunday morning when his father was on the other side of the island and did not get back in time for the Sunday morning worship service. And there was no preacher and no translator for me. And it was Urson who, on the spur of the moment, stood up and filled in for his dad preaching. What a change for that man. Brethren, if you could know him before and know him now, then you'd see with me that the Bible is really changing them one person at a time. You know, that's how the Bible changes people. One at a time. And that's how the Bible is lifting up that culture. Yes, maybe the morality is generally low and struggles in some areas, but it's changing one person at a time because of the church and the Bible's influence. This is Tim and Surfy. Tim and Surfy are among those who are baptized since I was with you last. And Tim sees the change happening in Urson and Atrico and Kendi. And brethren, he's very interested in that and he wants to get in on that. And he and I are planning some one-on-one time on the next trip to sit and study together. And I just know that this man is going to be ready to be moving forward into leading in the church there in Namon Village in Chuuk. And so, brethren, the Bible is changing them, and there are successes, even though there are some challenges. Brethren, it's about seeing. But sometimes I have to admit to you that there have been times when I did not see. For example, I knew that they ran out of food and water at times, and I knew that, some of them had some challenging sleeping conditions. But since I was with you last, I had the opportunity to go camping there with them at Namon Village, at this house right here. And brethren, it was eye-opening for me. Because I knew, like I said, that they ran out of water, but when I watched it run out, then it took on a stronger meaning. I knew they ran out of food, but I watched the cupboard go empty, and I saw whenever payday would come around what their money went for and how they used it, and then when you see that cupboard go empty, it just takes on a new meaning. You know, we as foreigners have a just different perspective on life when conditions are like this. Brethren, we really don't get it. I've been going into Chuuk for 7 years, 1 week every 2 or 3 months for 7 years, and it took the camping time to even bring it home closer to me. We just don't get it because if you go to Chuuk with me, then imagine a rough day in Chuuk with me. We're going to walk in an hour to Epanoot Village. You're going to sit for an hour while I teach, and you'll be sitting on the concrete there, Indian style, and then I'll sit for an hour while you'll teach. And then, brethren, during that hour's time, you'll see the children weren't running around without proper clothing. You'll see where one of the children has spilled some food on the ground and the flies have flocked to it. And it's a cluster of flies that you can hear. You know when you can hear flies? Well, you'll be in that kind of conditions through the day. We'll walk back and do the same thing in Namon Village. And at the end of the day, brethren, in that heat and that humidity, we would be tired. But you see, we get to go back to the hotel where there's a cushioned seat. And there's an air conditioner you can turn on. And so it's easy for us as foreigners to not really understand how they live and how they are doing. And so it's eye-opening to be able to spend some time with them and live there with them. I knew that they slept on some plywood tables, very similar to your Lord's Supper table here. But it would wake me up in the night when they roll over and their bones would knock against that wood. There's one lady who laid down directly on the concrete, pulled a pillow, an old dirty pillow up to her head, and then a little four-year-old curled up next to her. Brethren, directly on the concrete. Directly on the concrete. And then pulled one sheet over the two of them. And so it was eye-opening for me and helped me to better see and perceive. Brethren, they do have needs. They do have physical needs. And these are real situations and they are challenging situations. Things that weigh very heavily on a person's heart. But we've got to remember that is as needful as these things are, they're really not important compared to the great spiritual need. Brethren, we've got to see the spiritual need and understand the importance of the spiritual need. You know, when it comes to these physical things, we can relate. And so we can understand the need for helping them. But we've got to have that same kind of a pricking of the heart when it comes to the spiritual things. the need to be baptized and to teach others to be baptized. Brethren, the need to put away completely ancestral worship and to not try to mix it with New Testament worship. The need to walk to the worship services. After World War II, we introduced Spam and Rice into the islands. Oh, they think it's the cat's meow, bro. They love that Spam and Rice. And the greatest meal that you can give a Chukis is a big plate piled as high as it as possible with rice and then dice a can of Spam put over the top. They think that is just perfect. But brethren, it makes them become very large people, as you can imagine, and they've started to get the thinking in their culture that they can't walk 30 minutes, that they're not able to do that. Well, that's very bad because many of them live 30 minutes away from worship services here in Namon Village. And so we've got to teach them that they can walk and that they're able to do that. Now, granted, walking 30 minutes to the worship services in Chuuk is quite different than it would be here in the States. Because, brethren, remember that morality is generally low, and so there are plenty of single mothers, many, many babies there in Chuuk. So imagine with me a single mother with five children in tow, and she's going to dress them up in whatever are their best clothes for that Sunday worship service. Whatever are their best shoes, that's what they'll put on. And then she's going to walk 30 minutes along the road that you saw pictures of earlier, on an island, so it's humid, on the equator, so it's hot. Brethren, it's quite a bit different. It's hard and challenging for them to do. But nevertheless, that's what the Lord asks of them. They don't have a car, don't have a bicycle, so that's what the Lord asks of them. And brethren, that's okay. It's okay for them to sacrifice, to be challenged in order to obey the Lord in this thing, in attending the worship services. And so we've got to realize that those are the needs. That's the spiritual need, and that outweighs the physical needs. Brethren, you saw the verse a few moments ago, Matthew 8, verse 4, where Jesus instructed the man to go his way and tell no one. Well, if we have physical things to give away, like mosquito nets or some bedding or some food, if we have, and we try to have, brethren, if someone makes a special donation for it, then we will give away some of those things, but we do it quietly behind the scenes because we do not want the church to become known for that, and in a heartbeat someone would come and be baptized in the Church of Christ in order to receive a $12 mosquito net. So we don't want that. We don't want that kind of publicity and that kind of what? We don't want to be known for that. We want people to come to us for spiritual things, and so we keep the spiritual things number one and help with the physical things as we can as a side note, you see. But the spiritual things, that's what they need. Because it doesn't matter if they're sleeping on a plywood table, brethren, if their souls are not saved. It doesn't matter if they have enough rice or not, brethren, if they're not having the Lord first in their lives. And so we've got to keep the number one things first and then address those other things as we can. And believe you me, it's easier to say than do because, brethren, these are my friends and I love them dearly. Well, that's Chuuk. That's Chuuk, and it's a good work, it's a challenging work, but it's a work that has a lot of heart in it. You know, when people do not have a lot of money, then they focus on other things in life, and one of those things is relationships. And these people are loving, caring, good people, and I love them dearly. Let's go on to Palau now. And brethren, Palau is not the third world country that Chuuk is. Palau is more modern. It is not like Guam or Saipan or Hawaii or other parts of or any of the U.S. mainland. We have plenty of homes, many homes that are plywood and tin. Some of those were very much affected by the storm that came recently. But some of the homes are concrete homes, and of course they're going to survive the storms and just be better in many regards for the people. And so Palau is not that third world country. The average person in Palau makes $8,000 or less. Jobs are hard to find. There's beautiful, beautiful scenery. Many divers come and explore the World War II wrecks. And brethren, this scenery is something that God has made. Just imagine a rock coming up out of the water and then putting as much vegetation on that rock as you can. And as the water erodes the rock underneath, it becomes a mushroom-shaped island, kind of like a chia pet, with all the greenery on top, and then it goes down below. And these are the rock islands of Palau, just beautiful. This is the church in Palau. We have 20 members. And brethren, one of the reasons that the membership is low like that is because there's a large turnover in Palau. Many of our members are Filipino, and they come over from the Philippines on 1 or 2 year workers' contracts and then finish their time and then go back to the Philippines. We've lost 5 members this year alone going back to the Philippines. And in a congregation of 20, brethren, 5 makes a big difference. So we have regular baptisms. You saw Maurice a moment ago. She was one who was baptized and has since gone back to the Philippines. We have the baptisms and maintain our number of 20. This is Ben Osabek. He's a Palauan, shaking hands with William, who is Filipino. Both of these men were restored since I was with you last. Some of mission work is very similar to what the work of a preacher here in the States would be, and that is there's visiting and encouraging and restoring to do. Stanley and his wife, Bilma, were restored to the church since I was with you last, and here he is exercising himself in serving the Lord's Supper. Let me take a few minutes now and tell you, well, this is Junie. Brethren, Junie is a Filipino man who has been in Palau for 2 years and now gone back to the Philippines, but he was my right-hand man, our only song leader, and the one who filled in while I was in the States reporting, or if I was in Chuuk, then he would fill in preaching for me there in Palau. He married Maurice, and they went back to the Philippines, and so the turnover is something that also affects our leadership there in the church. But we have another man who is baptized this year, who I'll tell you about in just a few moments, by the name of Mino, and he is now preaching in my absence. But let me take a few minutes and tell you about some of the evangelism efforts that we've been able to be involved with there in Palau. One of them is, of course, Pacific Islands Bible College, and you'll see Stacy Ferguson coming up in just a moment. Brethren, we have these classes in Palau, but we do it a little bit differently because the Filipinos work very long and hard hours, and so we don't do a 3-week course. Rather, we'll do an 8-day course and only do one course instead of 2 courses. So we have to adjust it a little bit in order to be able to accommodate the brethren's schedule there in Palau. And Stacy Ferguson is there with Robert Martin. You are familiar, of course, with Robert Martin, and he is in Atlanta there with Robert, a very good, capable man. Here you see Steve Weiss in the back left corner of the screen. He's one of our elders. And brethren, they take their role of overseeing very seriously. We come and report on the even-numbered years. On the odd-numbered years, one of our elders will come and visit us on the mission field because they want to spend time with us and because they want to see the work firsthand. We're very thankful for the close-knit relationship that we have with our elders. I cannot imagine doing the work another way. What you're seeing pictures of now are a campaign, but this campaign was a little bit different. It consisted of only 2 ladies from South Carolina who came out and they taught ladies classes during the day and then, no, taught ladies classes at night and then took our ladies out for lunch and fellowship during the day. It was a great success. And so even ladies can come and help us in Palau. Like I said, it's more modern. And if you're interested in coming to visit us in the islands, men or women, please see me after the presentation. We'd love to have you come. This is Mino and Cheryl. We're talking about evangelism efforts. And you know, the greatest evangelism effort anywhere is always one-on-one contacts. And I met Mino in a video rental store, and we're talking about movies, and he said, "My name's Mino." And I said, "Mino?" He said, "Yes, Mino, like Mino Jesus." And I said, "All right, very good." But brethren, I appreciated that because it told me right off the bat, this is a spiritually minded man and I can talk to him. So I told him where our church building was located, and the next day he was riding his bicycle by and then came in and helped me with a project I was working on, spent about 4 hours that day helping me, and then came back the next day and did the same thing, another 4 hours, and the day after that, another 4 hours. He was preaching for a denomination there in Palau and part-time. The only income that he and his family had was a part-time job preaching with a denomination. And Mino and I began to be friends very quickly. And that religious group that he was with had some very severe teachings not found in the Bible. And he was telling me about them. And I said, "Mino," very gently, I said, "Mino, you know that's not in the Bible." He said, "You're right." But I knew from talking with Mino that he had a respect for the Bible and wanted to follow the Bible only. So he and Cheryl started coming over to the house. We had Bible studies together, and we got up to the point of baptism. And brethren, when it comes to baptism, we like to establish that they need the Bible's baptism, not just any baptism, but the Bible's baptism, and then let them know, of course, that we're ready to do that baptism day or night, anytime. And then we like to step back and let the decision be theirs so that we're not pushing someone into something that maybe they don't really want to do. You know, the Bible talks about counting the cost, and we want them to count the cost and make that decision on their own. But Mino and Cheryl, after we went through the studies, they didn't. And a few days passed, and we had them over again, had another Bible study just to make sure there were no questions, and there weren't. And so we waited, and again, nothing happened. So Mino was over at the house again several days later, and I said, "Mino, you know, you and Cheryl need the Bible's baptism. Y'all need to be right with the Lord, be able to walk with the Lord." He said, "You're right." He went home and got Cheryl and came back, and we had another Bible study and then went to the water together. Brethren, I believe that the delay occurred because Mino, he understood, you see, that if he was baptized in the Lord's church, he would have to give up the denomination completely, and that meant giving up his salary completely. Well, they've been living on one income, a part-time income, for I think it was about a year and a half at that point, and so it was already very tight for them, and it would be very hard on the family to give up what little income they had coming in. But he did. They both did. And brethren, they made that change just the way that you would hope that they would. Mino stopped attending the denomination completely. He started faithfully attending the worship services of the Lord's church, and he lost his salary. And brethren, they have been a great light and strength in the church, and that occurred this year. We're very thankful for Mino and Cheryl. Cheryl has said, since being in the church, she said, "It's good to be in a place where you can worship, where everything feels right," meaning that there were not any doctrines of the church that made her uncomfortable in worshiping there. So we're thankful for Mino and Cheryl. One-on-one outreach, one of the greatest evangelism opportunities that exists anywhere. And here's another one. We do Friday night Bible studies. And on Friday nights, the whole church comes over to our house. We have a meal together and a Bible study together. And brethren, it's easy to cook for these people because they love rice. We got a rice cooker, and you cook one big pot of rice and then something like beef stew to go over the top, and you can feed 20 people very, very easily. Sometimes we have a large crowd. Sometimes we have a small crowd. But brethren, large or small, there has to be rice. One time we served beef stew without any rice, because that's how we eat it, right? We serve beef stew, and brethren, we put it in the bowls and gave it to them, and they just sat there looking at it, not knowing what to do with it. So there has to be rice. Brethren, if we order pizza, there has to be rice to go along with it. No kidding. That's right. But these Friday night Bible studies have really drawn the church together into a close-knit group. We are better able to talk, better able to handle anything that might come up, better able to encourage one another. And so it's a very good thing for the congregation. If there is something going on that we need to discuss intimately as a family, we can do it easily at these Friday night Bible studies. And so it's a good thing for the church. It's also a good opportunity to introduce visitors to the church and to the teachings of the Lord's church. Another outreach effort that we were able to be involved with was giving out sweet rolls and DVDs that we had made about what is the Church of Christ at a local Friday night market there in Palau. And so we were excited to be able to do that and just kind of advertise the church a little bit. But the largest outreach effort that we've been able to be involved with since we were with you last is Moving Mountains Television. We went to one of the local TV studios in Palau and asked how much it would cost for us to be able to do a 1 hour a week live call-in show on the Bible. Bible, not a Bible talk show, but a call-in question and answer kind of show. And brethren, they wanted $500 per episode to do it, which would have meant $2,000 a month, far beyond our reach. So we went home, defeated a little bit, and began to think, well, what if we just connected directly to the cable company? Then how much would that cost? So we called PNCC and asked them what it would take to do that. And they said $287 per month, which would be 14% of the other what the TV station wanted. And brethren, this would be ours 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So we began to make plans of setting up even just a bare-bones TV station there in Palau. And if I were in your shoes, I would wonder, well, what did it cost and how do you do it? So that's what we're going to answer right now. We had to buy a playout computer. But then software to run the computer was free. It's freeware. It's called ScreenMonkey. You can go home this afternoon and download it and play with it if you want to. But it plays in sequence all of those large video files that you see listed there. Most of them are over 1 gigabyte in size. But it does it without any hang-up and without any problem. Because it's freeware, it does have some bugs that we have to work around, but that certainly beats having to go and pay for a professional broadcasting software. We built our own sets, and this is all inside one small bedroom of our house. On one wall are the computers, and the other three walls make up the three different sets. When it comes to the sets themselves, we have to build most everything ourselves. Here's one wall for a children's show that we're working on. Across this wall spans the black curtain that you saw a moment ago. And this wall is just painted green for doing chroma key work. And the changing of the background takes place in the software after you do the recording. Many of our brethren in the States who are producing programming are using this kind of approach because you can just do almost anything with it. When it came to lighting, brethren, we believe very much in stretching the Lord's dollars and doing the most we can with what we have. And so we built the light stand ourselves. And lighting for TV, just it needs to be the same bulb. So the camera is reading only one color temperature, you see. Well, a hardware store donated these bulbs for us, and we built the light stand on wheels. We just rotate it toward whatever set we want to use at the time. The boom pole for the microphone is a painted telescoping painter's pole. Had to buy a computer. And then we found plans on the internet to build our own teleprompter. Now, brethren, what a teleprompter is, and these things sell between $2,000 and $6,000 each professionally made. But it's a computer screen laid down flat on its back, and up above it raised a 45-degree piece of glass. The camera, the glass reflects whatever's on the computer screen, and the camera sits behind the glass and films through the glass, but does not see the reflection. And so that's how people are able to be looking directly at the camera and talking to you in TV land, and they're reading, but you don't see what it is that they're seeing. We were able to find the plans for that on the internet. We had all of the materials already on hand except for a piece of glass. And so instead of $2,000 for a teleprompter, we spent $5 on a piece of glass. We did not have to pay for a modulator or a line to the cable company. They really helped us out in that way. And we did not have to pay one penny for the programming for the entire lineup, brethren, entire station. We wrote to Apologetics Press, Focus Press, World Video Bible School, In Search of the Lord's Way, some other brethren here in the States. And I want you to know that every one of them sent us everything we asked for in programming completely for free. I have never been so proud of our brotherhood as when we learned that this was going to be the case. And like I said, it's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, so you're talking about a lot of programming. We would send a couple of terabytes hard drive to these different brethren. They'd load it up for us and then send it back to us. And that's how we're able to be on the air as we are. But we did not pay a penny for any of that programming that goes on. In addition to the programming that they send us, we also do our own original programming, like the sets that you saw a few moments ago. This is because, number one, the Islanders will watch it more readily if it's filmed locally. They love things that are done local. I was in Chuuk in a restaurant. They had the television on, and they were watching a Palawan TV station. But the Chuukese do not speak Palawan. I do not know a single Chuukese who speaks Palawan. And just two completely different languages. So I asked the waitress, I said, "Do you understand what it is that the girl on the TV is saying?" She said, "No." I said, "Well, then why are y'all watching this channel?" And she said, "Because it's local. It's the islands. And we want to know what's happening in the islands." So, brethren, they love things that are local. And so it's important and good for us to be able to film our own programs. And we are doing that, and it's under in the works right now. We've produced one program already and have others that are under production. But you know, when it comes to a TV work like this, it's important that it not overshadow the rest of the missionary work. You see the total cost for setting up the bare bones station there. It's important that it not overshadow the rest of the missionary work. Because, brethren, we are not TV people, we're missionaries. And far be it from us to leave the Lord's mission work and become TV people. I can spend only 30 minutes a day programming the lineup for the channel for that day and then leave it alone. That automated software just goes and then leave it alone. Unless we're filming, it only takes 30 minutes of my time each day. We wanted to do a test and see if people were actually watching the channel. You know, the way they do that here in the States is by surveys. There's not a feedback element. Maybe in recent years there is, but historically there's not a feedback element coming back from your cable line to see who's watching what. So in the States, they do surveys to determine whether or not people are watching the channel. And we did our own survey. We put a clip on the station, which gave away a Bible for anyone who would call in. We said, we'll bring it to your home, we'll bring it to your work, we'll mail it to you. Just let us know if you want a Bible, and it's yours for free. And so we did, and brethren, right off the bat, we got calls for about 10 Bibles. Well, that told us people are watching the channel. People are interested in what's happening here, and we understand why, because it's local. And to my knowledge, we are the only religious TV channel in all of Micronesia, brethren. And I don't know about the entire Pacific, but if there are any, it would be very few. And so we really have a great niche in the people, because we're very specific. We are islands and we are spiritual, and this will help people to tune in and listen to what we're doing. Here you're seeing the clip for the Bible giveaway. And so, brethren, we're encouraged. The purpose of the TV channel is to get us Bible studies for sitting down one-on-one, live, of course, with the people in their living room. That's what we want to do. And so we are using the TV channel and the TV work to accomplish that task. It is not the end itself. It is a means to an end to get us Bible studies sitting down around the table. Brethren, it's about seeing. All of these outreach opportunities that we've been talking about help us to see how we can help the people. It's about seeing what are the needs of the people and how we can go about getting those needs fulfilled. It's about seeing that the physical needs are not the most important needs, but they are real needs and need help. The most important needs are those spiritual needs. It's about seeing that God's ways are the best ways. Giving up that drinking, giving up those adulterous relationships will help their lives. It'll put them right with God, and it will help them, brethren, just in so many ways. It's about seeing that as children of God, we want to love and obey Him. Brethren, the reason that we chose Moving Mountains for the name of the TV station is because the Bible verses that talk about when our faith increases to the point that we can move mountains. In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 2, we read about if we can do so many great things, give our bodies to be burned, have faith to move mountains, but have not love, it profits us nothing. And brethren, the way that we move those mountains is not by any power that we have in our own hands, but it's through prayer. And when we pray to our God to do something great for us, well, then that is us moving the mountains. Praying that that storm will divert and not hit Palau. Brethren, that's a mountain to move right there. But you and I can accomplish that, not through our power, but through what we ask our Father in heaven for. And so we want to love God with all of our heart. Draw close to Him. Be growing in our faith so that we can move those mountains. But brethren, to love Him with all of our heart, and then, because we love Him, obey His every word. You know, sometimes here in the States, you hear people talk about, we don't have to obey this command, or we can take liberty off of this command here because we have a loving God and He will not punish us because He loves us so much. You see, that train of thought addresses the love that God has for man only. And that love is very, very great, the love that God has for man. That train of thought only addresses the love that God has for man. But what about over here? The love that man is supposed to have for God. Because you see, if I love my God, then I don't want to try to get around that command, get around that instruction from the Bible. I love my God, and I want to obey His every word and be pleasing to Him in every way. So, brethren, not only do we want to have in mind that God loves man so much, but we want to love Him with all of our hearts so that it's not important to us to seek ways around His Word, but rather to seek ways to keep His Word. You know, our mothers and fathers here in the States, we want to please them. we want to follow their good instructions because we know that if we don't, oh, it's hurtful to them, and we don't want to be hurtful to them. And maybe they're asking us to do something that we don't want to do, but we're going to do it anyway, right? Because we love them and don't want to be hurtful to them. Well, that's the way it is with our Father as well in heaven. Brother, we want to honor His Word. We want to honor His request. Even if it's not what I want to do, oh, we love Him so much that we want to do His will. That's the message that we give to the islanders and what we share with you this morning as well. May we all love God with all of our heart, everything within us. That number one command, to love Him so deeply. And that love then motivates us to obey every wonderful and good thing in His precious Word. Thank you for your good attention this morning.